Okay, welcome to Live Deliverance Internet Radio Ministries. All right, welcome to Blog Talk Internet Radio. I am sorry that I couldn't get in later. So many people coming in the room, and I'm trying to get everybody else in the room and get a sound check. Chap Durden, can you hear me?
Fine, thank you, fine.
Okay. All right, we're going to get Sister Maureen, if she wants to pray, to tell her to come forth.
Maureen, come on quick. She's coming now.
Waiting on me? You ready?
Yes, sir, Sister Maureen, I was running. Yes, ma'am, it's my fault. I'm sorry, I was running late. I had a lot of people online, and I tried to get everybody in, and I'm just getting in. I'm ready.
Okay, Lord, thank
Hello?
You for your word tonight. Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Thank you for your word tonight. We honor your word tonight. It is written that your word cannot return unto you void, but it must prosper where you send it. I pray that your word brings salvation, healing, and deliverance to the listeners that are in need tonight. Give us a clean heart and renew a right spirit within us. May our minds be alert and clear, and our hearts become receptive. Let every thought be brought into captivity to the glory of your Son, Jesus. In the name of your divine Son, Jesus of Nazareth, we pray. Amen.
Powerful, powerful prayer. Deliverance training, Reverend Dalman, Dillman, Tillman, McNugget, Donaldson, Leroy Hilton, Bishop T.C. Montgomery, Bishop Leroy Carlton, Dr. Limo, Dr. Felton, y'all doing good. Keep coming in the room. This is Basic 101 Deliverance. We are learning basic deliverance tonight. Apostle John Eckhart.
Judges 5. I won't just locate the chapter. I'm going to read also from some of the things in this book, this manual that you have. So if you look at just the preface, which is in Roman numeral 4, before page 1. I'll just read directly from there. You can follow me in the book if you have the manual. If you don't, we'll get some of these copied, and we'll have some more for you shortly. This manual is one of the most comprehensive manuals I've seen, and it's a good manual because it kind of puts everything together. There are excerpts in that manual from Pigeon of Parlor, Wynn Worley Books, and we have so many different deliverance books, and it's good to have something that kind of puts it all together in a comprehensive way. So I was so excited when I saw this manual, and I ordered some more. But it is not copywritten, so you know, feel free to duplicate or whatever and pass it out or teach from it or minister from it. It's a tremendous, tremendous manual. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the ministry of deliverance and the message of deliverance that is going around the world. And thank you, Lord, for giving us the ability to cast out demons and the wisdom, Lord, to operate in this particular area. Father, we thank you for your grace and for your power. Release your anointing, Father, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's, I just want to read some of the words that he wrote here, the author, who is, in this case, Gene Moody. I've never met him. I've talked with him on the phone. But evidently, he has a great knowledge of deliverance. I see a lot of the material in this manual that we've read in Wynn Worley Books and Pigs in the Parlor. And I'm going to encourage, of course, the radio listeners also to write us if you're hearing this tape. And we'll give you a way to get a hold of this manual. It's almost 400 pages of information on deliverance, a very comprehensive manual. It's called the Deliverance Manual, and we'll be glad to make sure that you're able to get this particular manual. I was in Miami, Florida, several weeks ago ministering at a very large Hispanic church there. It's the fastest growing Hispanic church in Florida. And there's an apostle there by the name of Guillermo Maldonado. He's originally from Honduras, and many years ago, God led him into a deliverance ministry. He began to cast out demons in his church. His church exploded. Right now, they're into three services. They meet in a very large synagogue building that they purchased. God gave them favor with the Jewish people there and sold them this beautiful, large synagogue, and they're already in three services. And the church is only a few years old. And he got into deliverance, but he really didn't know very many people who practiced deliverance, and so he received a lot of persecution. He got on radio, taught it. A lot of the Hispanic churches, Pentecostal churches, did not believe that Christians could have demons, and so they opposed him. And I was down there preaching for him. It's the second time I ministered for him. And we preached on deliverance and ministered deliverance. And he is so hungry for deliverance books. He said, whatever books you have, send them all to me. Send me all of your tapes. I said, we have a lot of tapes on deliverance. They go back for years. And he says, send them to me. He's writing a book. And so we see the message of deliverance hitting here and hitting there and more leaders coming into a knowledge of it. But I like what the author says here first. He says, the only way for deliverance to spread around the world is for many people to begin to practice deliverance, to do it. The Bible says, be doers of the word and not hearers. He says, I encourage you to take this guide, begin to practice deliverance, and to help others as you grow stronger. God told us to help train an army to minister deliverance. May God bless you with all spiritual blessings and bring you into all spiritual truth. Mass deliverance is simply deliverance for everyone that can hear your voice. You can use this lesson for your family or church. Normally, we only work on one area of a person's life in a meeting and do not try to cover all areas at the same time. There is nothing mysterious about deliverance. Any Christian can cast out demons. As a teacher, I am worthless if I cannot show you how to practice what I teach. The Bible is also worthless to you unless you put it into practice. And here's an encouragement for deliverance workers. You know, we need to be encouraged. Deliverance is the last battleground to complete freedom of the Christian. The battle is the greatest, and Satan will fight the hardest against this ministry. You are fighting God's battles. You are cursed if you are unwilling to fight. Now, how many know what the name of that curse is? The curse for not fighting the Lord's battles. Come on, some of you old deliverance workers. What's the name of that curse? The curse of the city. There was a city in the book of Judges that was cursed because they would not go and fight. Who has it? Come on now. I know you old deliverance workers, you people who have been in here for 15 years, know the name of that city. Yeah, who said it? Okay, the curse of Meroz. Write it down, M-E-R-O-Z. Put it down there, M-E-R-O-Z, the curse of Meroz. I'll show it to you in the scriptures. We didn't come up with it. You knew that, didn't you? Oh, I'm sorry. You're not speaking loud. We don't need a little quiet prophets. The curse of Meroz. Cry loud and spare not. The curse of Meroz. I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. Y'all was kind of hesitant, like y'all was scared to say it. Yeah, I'm not going to shoot you if you get the wrong answer. Amen. The curse of Meroz. M-E-R-O-Z. Okay? You're cursed if you don't fight the Lord's battles. Now, that's found in Judges chapter 5. That's why I had you turn there. Judges chapter 5. Now, I'm reading from the New International Version, so it may, mine may sound a little different from yours, but in Judges chapter 5 and verse 23, it says, curse Meroz, said the angel of the Lord, curse its people bitterly because they did not come to help the Lord, to help the Lord against the mighty. See, God put a curse on this city because when it was time to fight, they didn't want to fight. And people don't realize that when you don't want to fight, when you don't want to get involved in warfare, you can bring a curse upon your life. Amen. God curses people who don't want to fight his battles. God wants you to fight, and you'll never be blessed not wanting to be involved in warfare. Are you listening to me? See, we need to take this more serious. Some people say, well, I don't want to be involved in that deliverance, and I don't want to cast out devils, and I don't want to be involved in warfare. Well, look at this city. They didn't want to fight either. When the battle was going on and God was using, in this particular case, Deborah, this is the prophetic song of Deborah. Deborah is prophesying in song. And, of course, her and Barak, they went forth to fight against the enemy, and there was a city called Meraz that decided, we're not going to fight. And so while everybody else was fighting, they were just in their city relaxing. And so when the battle was over, she prophesied, Deborah, and the angel of the Lord said, curse this city and curse the people of that city because they did not come to help the Lord, to help the Lord against the mighty. God wants you to help him. God wants you to help him fight. God has some enemies. They're called demons and devils. And he needs you to help him to fight. Now, you know, if God is recruiting people and saying, I want some help, will you help me? How many people will help the Lord to fight his battles? Amen. Warfare is a serious matter. It's nothing to play with. You know, I really look at ministers, and I still see ministers who say, oh, I don't want to be involved in deliverance, and I don't want to, you know, be involved in that warfare. And they do good for a season, but after a while, all of a sudden, they start having all kinds of problems. But I guarantee you this, any ministry that stays consistent with fighting devils and casting out devils, God will bless that ministry. God will preserve that ministry. I've seen ministers rise and fall in this city. I've seen people do all kinds of things, and they don't want to get involved in deliverance. And you deliverance folks are crazy, and it doesn't take all of that. But I'm determined in my life that I'm going to continue to fight the Lord's battles. So anytime you get lazy and don't want to fight, just think of Meraz. If you have a dream, and in the sky, The word comes, Meraz. You know what that word means. Meraz. It's in the Bible. It's one of them deep words, Meraz. When you're prophesying to somebody, say, the Lord says this, the curse of Meraz is trying to come upon you. They wouldn't know what you're talking about. Who's that? So there's a lot of things in this Bible we need to understand. Amen. There's a lot more in here than Pharaoh's army got drowned in the Red Sea one day. It's a big book. Read it. He says, if you're not fighting God's battles, you are cursed if you are unwilling to fight. Now, notice this. If you're unwilling to fight. See, if people don't know about warfare and, you know, they're ignorant, then I don't think this curse will come upon them. But those who hear about it, know about it, and still don't do it, that's when the curse comes. I mean, you can't operate in something you don't know about. So I don't believe God just walks around cursing churches because they don't do deliverance. I'm not saying a church is cursed if they don't do deliverance like we do it. Some people don't know about deliverance. But when you hear, you are responsible for what you know. I mean, you can't just sit down and say, well, I don't feel like casting out devils. I don't feel like getting involved in warfare prayer. It's too late now. You know. It's too late. You should have never came. You should have never heard. Amen. The Bible says, unto whom much is given, much is required. And I'm telling you, crusaders, you live in a dangerous place when you have revelation. You just can't walk around doing what you want to do. You know too much. Amen. Never betray your revelation. Never turn on your revelation. Never hide your revelation. Never betray your revelation. Stay faithful to the revelation God gives you. I don't care how many folks don't like warfare and don't like deliverance. You have no choice. They can talk about it. They can preach against it. They cannot do it, but you have no choice. You've got to do it because you know too much. Amen. Now, if they don't know, if they're ignorant, that's no problem. But you know, God is going to hold you accountable for what you know. You get all this revelation on deliverance, and we know too much about deliverance, and sometimes we don't even receive deliverance ourselves. And we know demons in our lives are running rampant, but we just kind of say, well, I'll get to them later. How many know I'm telling the truth? I get to them later. I know they're there, but I just bind them up for now and just get to them later. You know, ain't no hurry. I don't have them for 30 years. Three more months ain't going to hurt. You know, that's our attitude sometimes. Listen to this. He says, the benefits far outweigh having to go through the battle. Now, I want you to underline this if you're taking notes. You will learn things about the spiritual world that cannot be learned in any other way than being involved in deliverance. Now, let me make that point. There are things that you learn in the ministry of deliverance that you can learn no other way. Because when you begin to cast out demons, you begin to deal with spirits on a first-hand basis. And I'm here to say this. There's a revelation of the spirit world that you have that people who are not involved in deliverance do not have. I have learned things through the ministry of deliverance that I would have never learned any other way, but by actively being involved in this ministry. In the last 15, 16 years, there are things that God has taught us through deliverance that we ordinarily would never have learned. Now, I'm going to share some of the things that we have learned, but when you deal with the spirit world, you have a degree of discernment that others don't have because you're dealing with demons all the time. You understand the spirit realm. You understand the demonic realm. You have a revelation of curses. You have a revelation of the problems of man. As a matter of fact, I wrote this down while I was away, and I mentioned some of the things that we've learned being involved in deliverance. See, deliverance will strengthen you. One of the major things deliverance does, it teaches you how to fight. When you know, you can read all the books you want. When you get face to face with a demon, you got to fight. It's almost like when you're in the world, you know, growing up, when you had to go to school or whatever, there were some situations you just had to fight. You just had to stand there and either take a whipping or they take your lunch money every day. And they were just, a lot of us, we learn how to fight. How did you learn how to fight so well? You was in a lot of fights. How many know what I'm talking about? And you learn how to fight because you had to learn how to fight. Otherwise, you'd be the neighborhood chump. Amen. You have a big chump sign across your back. You know, you go to school 10 minutes after everybody else and leave school 5 minutes. Like, you know, I went to a Catholic school, and so they let us out at 3 o'clock because the public school got out at 3:15. So they gave us a 15-minute head start to get home. Oh, yeah, that was the logic. I'm glad they did, because them public schools over there where I went to Holy Angels over there in that area, them were some rough public school students. And brother, give me a 15-minute head start. By the time they getting out, I'm getting home, because they used to like to pick on the little Catholic boys. We had our little ties on and blue shirts, you know. You know, they just please. So they let us out at 3 o'clock. You got a 15-minute head start. And the only time we had problem with the public school students was when they would have their spring break and we'd be in school. And they'd be waiting for us. And sometimes we sell them little, you know, they have, you sell turtles and little chocolates. Don't let them catch you with them little chocolate boxes. They take all your chocolate. I mean, you had to learn how to fight. One of the things deliverance taught us was warfare. When you're dealing with demons, and you learn firsthand how to apply the blood of Jesus. You learn how to use your authority. See, it's no longer just a theological doctrine that's in the Bible. It's no longer just a sermon. Listen, these sermons don't mean anything unless you're putting it into practice in some practical way. Otherwise, it's just a doctrine, it's just a theology, it's just something that you've written down in your doctrinal statement. But when you have to apply the blood, it's more than just, I believe that Jesus shed his blood. When you have to say the blood of Jesus over a raging demon, and you see that demon yield to the blood of Jesus, then you recognize there's power in the blood. When you say in the name of Jesus, come out. And the devil says, I'm not coming out. But you say, in the name of Jesus, you will come out. And the devil says, no, I'm not coming out. And you say, you learn how to use faith in the name of Jesus. Listen, deliverance is one of the most practical ways to exercise your authority, your revelation, your power, the gifts of the Spirit operate in deliverance. It's a practical way. Otherwise, these just become doctrines and theories, and we have all this knowledge, but we have nowhere to use it. Deliverance is like a laboratory. I call it the laboratory of deliverance. You gain practical knowledge. The things of the Bible become real. And I tell you, I wouldn't take anything for what I've learned in deliverance.
Yes, right.
You
That's
get
right.
discernment.
That's
I mean,
right.
you can just look and tell
That's
some
right.
things are demonic.
That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right.
You don't want to become judgmental, but you learn about rejection, rebellion, schizophrenia. I wrote this down. One of the things that deliverance really does, it gives you a greater revelation of the problems of people. See, without a knowledge of deliverance, this is what we do. We blame everything on the flesh. We say, oh, that's just the flesh. Well, that's just the way they are. We have no revelation of why people are the way they are. But deliverance gives you a revelation of the problems of man. Now, we know man's problem is sin and rebellion and disobedience. But when you understand deliverance, you recognize that the problem there is rejection. That's rebellion. That's pride. That's stubbornness. That's witchcraft. That's hurt. That's lust. That's fear. You begin to discern. And it's not, you don't want to discern to become judgmental. But the key is, the more you can understand the problems of people, the more you can help them. Man, a doctor cannot help you unless he diagnoses your problem. We can't help people unless we know what they're dealing with. We can't even help people unless we have an understanding of deliverance. Or you can help them somewhat by giving them the Word of God and giving them counseling and, you know, talking to them and praying for them. There's always help. But if you really want to help people deep down where they really need help, you've got to have a knowledge of deliverance. That's not just the preacher. That is every member. If you really want to be able to help the problems of people, you must have a revelation of deliverance. If you don't have a revelation of deliverance, there's only so far you can go in helping people, because most of the problems of people are demonic. Are you listening to me? And if we don't have a revelation, if you have preachers in the pulpit who have no revelation of deliverance, won't even pick up a book and read it, won't even teach it to their people, how can you really help people? All you'll do is just, you know, we come up with these nice cliches like, well, just have faith in God. Just trust the Lord. I'm praying for you. I'm standing in faith with you. See, we do the best we can. That's all we know. But when you can help somebody, you can sit down with them, you can say, listen, this problem is schizophrenia. This is rejection. This is rebellion. These are the demons that are operating in your life, and these are the curses that are on your bloodline. Let's break these curses and begin to cast these spirits out. That is bringing significant help to people. Other than that, we just lay hands on them, pray for them, you know, prophesy to them, bless them any way we can. And many of them, they make it. They struggle, but they make it. But a greater understanding of the problems of people when you have deliverance, you begin to understand what the real problem is. I wrote this down. Ministering deliverance gives us a greater understanding of the problems of man, including believers. Many of our problems are demonic. They cannot be solved with human wisdom. The wisdom of God that manifests through deliverance is the only solution to problems that are demonic. See, it takes a certain wisdom to be able to help people. Deliverance is a revelation. It's a certain wisdom that you begin to operate. You have wisdom. You understand the spirit realm. You have wisdom in deliverance. You have wisdom in how to cast out demons. You have wisdom in how to break curses. One of the keys, by the way, to the ministry of Jesus Christ, his miracle ministry, was his wisdom. You read the New Testament. One time they said, what is this? How does this man have this wisdom? And how does he do these mighty works? Wisdom is connected with mighty works. There's certain things you cannot do in the spirit realm unless you have a wisdom. You know, you can learn how to heal the sick. I said you can learn how to heal the sick. Jesus. Stuff falling up here, the blood of Jesus. I got scared. I'm preaching on deliverance, and my watch fell off. I didn't know what it was. You can learn how to heal the sick. There's a wisdom in healing the sick. There are different ways to minister healing. It's just not just laying hands on somebody. The different ways to minister. If you tap and study healing ministries and learn the wisdom, many of the great healing ministries, the reason why they're able to heal people, it's not because they just have a gift. They also know how to operate in that realm. They have a wisdom. They know how to operate in that particular realm. When you get in deliverance and you know how to operate in deliverance, you access a certain wisdom that the psychologists don't have, that people don't understand. You know, you begin to tap into a heavenly wisdom. The world does not have this wisdom. The world doesn't understand deliverance. The doctors don't understand deliverance. That this is a wisdom that's beyond them. It's found in the Word of God. And to them, the wisdom of God is foolishness. It's crazy to even teach that people have demons. Oh, they don't really have demons. They just got psychosis and, you know, and all this. So we'll hypnotize them and give them shock treatments and pump them up with medication and lock them behind doors. See, that's dumb. That's no wisdom. They have no wisdom to help anybody. All they can do is pump you up with drugs and put you in a mental institution and lock you up or give you shock treatments or put you through hypnosis or lay you down on a couch somewhere and counsel you for, you know, months and weeks. And that's a human wisdom. But there is a wisdom from heaven that only you can access by the Spirit of God that says in the name of Jesus, you spirit of rejection, you spirit of lust, you spirit of fear, you spirit of schizophrenia, I command you to come out. That is a wisdom that comes from God. And when you don't understand deliverance, you lack that wisdom. God wants a wise people. He wants us to have the wisdom of heaven, not the wisdom of religion, not the wisdom of a church. There is a wisdom that comes from God. There is a wisdom. That's what the Bible says. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. With all thy getting, get understanding. That's why I say read good deliverance books. Get this wisdom. It's the most important thing. It will bless your life. Wisdom is more valuable than gold, than rubies. When you get wisdom, the money will come. The blessings will come. Because anytime you can solve people's problems, they're going to give and they're going to bless you. Every one of you get paid a check because you solve someone's problem on your job. They got a problem. The job has a problem. What's the problem? Well, I need somebody to take that every day, to take that piece of mail and put it in that bag. So here you work in the post office. You solving problems. You taking mail. And you're putting it in this bag or putting it on that, or you're putting the mail in this box. We got a problem. We got so many people in this zip code, they need to get their mail. So we got a problem. So the mailman, he solves a problem. He brings the mail to your house. You don't have a mailman, you got a serious problem. You can't get your mail. So we pay the mailman to solve a problem. He brings the mail to your house. That's his job. If you want to be blessed, find out a problem and solve it. Are you listening to me? Anyone who solves a problem gets finances. Amen. I had a problem. I want to get to Australia. But the only problem is I don't want to take a boat. So I got to fly an airplane. So the airline solves my problem. In order to get on the airlines, I go down and buy a ticket. I pay them to solve my problem. I want to get from here to Australia, but I can't walk there, and I can't drive my car there. I got to fly, and I don't want to take a boat. So I got a problem. Can you solve my problem? Sure, we can solve that problem, Mr. Eckhart. It'll only be $1,500. No problem. You solve my problem. Here's $1,500. I'm paying because they take care of my problem. Anytime you get wisdom to solve a problem, people will pay you. Why do people go to doctors and pay large amounts of money? Because they solve a problem. They cut stuff out of you and they help solve a problem you have physically. Why do people go to psychiatrists? Because they think they're getting their problem solved. Why do people spend millions of dollars on diet pills and Jenny Craig and everybody else? Because they have a problem. I'm 50 pounds overweight, huffing and puffing. Can you help me? Sure. I can help you. $59.99. Slim Fast solves the problem. Somebody make millions of dollars off Slim Fast because it solves a problem. I'm overweight and I need to lose some weight quickly, so I need some Slim Fast. Amen. All these musicians solve a problem. We need music. So they solve a problem. They play music. They play instruments in the house of God. You know, we have a problem. We need some music. No, no, you know, it ain't no need to talk about, we don't need no music. We just going to praise the name. No, I need some music. Because your acapella is driving me up the wall. I need some, we off beat. We need some drums and some keyboard. Ain't no, no, I need musicians. I'm trying to get into the heavenly, holy of holies. And no music, it's hard to get in there. You got one person singing F flat, one singing A minus, and one singing B flat. Amen. You trying to go up, and instead they taking you down. Deliverance solves a problem. A demon problem. We got problems, demons. Can you get this thing out? See, people, all kind of things. They'll go to folks and, can you give me something to drink to get this thing out of me? Can you give me something to take a bath in? Can you give me some roots or something? They call up this woman, what's her name, Cleo now. She on TV got cards, talking about, call Cleo, candles burning, a modern-day witch. She on there with cards, talking about, honey, you need to leave that man. Now, I can tell you that free of charge. If you're in sin, leave him before you go to hell. You ain't got to pay nothing. That's in the Bible. It's called fornication. I need Cleo to tell you that. See, everybody pays somebody to solve a problem. All the psychics, they get money because these people think they're getting their problems solved. And all they tell you is about three things. It's either on love or '97. I almost said 1987. These years go so fast. I want to reemphasize again this year our commitment to the ministry of deliverance. We still have many people that come to this church because of deliverance. And we're still preaching this truth in the city of Chicago and around the country and around the world. And unfortunately, there's still not many ministers that want to really spend time dealing with this particular subject. But I want to begin by reading from the book, The Last Apostles on Earth, to kind of tie in this ministry of deliverance with apostolic ministry, why this is such an important part of our church, why it's such an important part of what God has called us to do as a church. If you've not yet read this book, it's a tremendous book. It's called The Last Apostles on Earth. It was a book of the month several months ago. I recommend it highly, and every time I do this, they usually don't have the book on the table. But they may have some. I'm not sure. If not, we'll try to get some for you. Some of you already have the book. But on page 133, it talks about the fact that apostles are called to displace evil princes. Another way we talk about apostolic ministry, it is a ministry of displacement. One of the purposes of what apostles are sent to do, they're sent to not just pull down strongholds of darkness over a territory or over a region, but they're also called to literally displace the princes and the principalities and the powers that have ruled a particular region. Chicago has had a principality over it for a long time. You can say the Prince of Chicago, a demonic prince. But I believe that God wants that stronghold pulled down. It's a political spirit. It's a religious spirit. But God wants that spirit pulled down. And wherever there is a principality, there is a seat, a spiritual seat. A seat represents authority, a throne, a seat, a place where the ruler sits. If you go to any country that has royalty, like a king, King of England, Sweden, you'll find that there is a seat that represents the authority or the rulership of that nation. Well, just as there are natural seats of power, There are also spiritual seats that you can't see with the natural eye. They're invisible seats of power in every region of the earth. And these seats will either be occupied by demonic princes, or they can be occupied by a godly authority. And I believe that one of the purposes of apostolic ministry is to cause that particular seat, not just to unseat a prince, but to literally replace that authority with the authority of God. It doesn't mean that everyone in the region will get saved, but it simply means that that region will be under the control of kingdom authority and power instead of under the control of some satanic power. So when we talk about unseating the enemy, we don't want to leave that seat vacant. That seats have to be occupied. Thrones, whether they be invisible or visible, must be occupied by someone. And if it's not occupied by godly people, it's going to be occupied by wicked people. And so one of the ministries of apostolic people or apostolic churches is to displace. Now let me just read directly from the book. It says, Judges 5. I won't just locate the chapter. I'm going to read also from some of the things in this book, this manual that you have. So if you look at just the preface, which is in Roman numeral 4, before page 1, I'll just read directly from there. If you can follow me in the book, if you have the manual. If you don't, we'll get some of these copied, and we'll have some more for you shortly. This manual is one of the most comprehensive manuals I've seen, and it's a good manual because it kind of puts everything together. There are excerpts in that manual from Pigeon of Parla, Wynne Worley books, and we have so many different deliverance books, and it's good to have something that kind of puts it all together in a comprehensive way. So I was so excited when I saw this manual.
This is Pastor Overton. We're under an attack. We need to pray. I'm seeing demons on the cable line spiritually just trying to pull. I feel like a gold line. And there's a lot of warfare in the heavens. I just got knocked off. I'm seeing succubus and incubus spirits. Father, we come in the name of Jesus against these demons. We will allow this word of God to be preached. We will take the authority in the name of Jesus over every unclean spirit that's trying to block Apostle John Urquhart from teaching. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we come up against these demons. We come up against every demonic spirit that's trying to block this word from going out. All blocking spirits, we come up against you. Every demonic force right now, blocking spirit, voice bouncy, electronical spirits, I'm seeing you. You got a fuzzy looking self with just eyeballs, and you're trying to shut down this. You will not shut it down. In the name of Jesus, you will not shut this down. Brothers and sisters, please forgive me. Back with John Urquhart. We're going to learn this.
1997, almost said 1987.
Reports of Harry Potter, that movie broke every record, every previous record of movie going, which is unfortunate. Not that we don't want to see...
Subject of deliverance,
yes,
that I recommend that every person who really wants to either receive deliverance or be a deliverance worker should read from cover to cover. And I also recommend that you go over it time and time again as a deliverance worker. Now, chapter 21, I think, is a chapter, of course, on schizophrenia. I haven't taught on this in quite some time. And in order to really go in depth in it, I really need an overhead, which I don't really have available. I'm going to do the best I can from the book and just be led by God as to how to share some things from this particular chapter, even for those who may already know about schizophrenia. And first we're going to look at a verse of scripture, James chapter 1, verse 8, give you a foundation for what we're going to talk about in dealing with the subject of schizophrenia. Then I'll read some things directly from the book. But one of our visions in this ministry is not just to get people set free from demons, but also to train people to be effective deliverance workers, to know how to pray for individuals. And when you're praying in deliverance, no two cases are exactly the same, because people have different kinds of problems. Some are more serious than others. Some take more time than others. And I would even say this, and I've not really said this before concerning the chapter 21 from the book on schizophrenia, that I believe that every deliverance worker, and let me just include every preacher, because I believe every preacher needs to know how to cast out devils. And it's unfortunate that most preachers don't cast out devils when it's the ministry of Jesus Christ. But I believe that every deliverance worker should be able, what I'm sharing tonight, you should be able to understand this revelation. And I would even go this far as to say, many of you know of the picture in the middle of the book on schizophrenia with the two hands that you read. I would even go as far as saying that every good deliverance worker should have this memorized, which means you should be able to sit down without the book, draw up these hands, and we'll share the revelation with you, and be able to put every spirit that is involved in schizophrenia down and understand this by memory. Because I'm convinced there's some people who have a schizophrenic problem that you'll not be able to effectively minister to unless you understand this revelation. And it is a revelation, by the way. And I'll share some things from the book, Ida May, how she got this revelation. You see, for every problem, God has a key, a revelation that will unlock that problem. Many times we're trying to get solutions to problems and we don't have the revelation to it. And I would even say that most workers here, you're good workers, probably if I ask you to sit down and draw out the revelation that in this book, even though you may have read the book, you probably could not do it from memory. And I want to emphasize that. I believe as we continue to train deliverance workers, as we begin to get it more in order as far as an actual deliverance course, and one of our visions is to bring people from other nations to America to train them, especially in the area of the prophetic, the area of deliverance, and the area of the apostolic, those three areas. As I go around the world to different parts of the world, to different countries, it is still amazing how many people really don't understand and know about deliverance. I was just in South Bend, Indiana several weeks ago and praying for some people for deliverance, and it's still amazing how most people have never read a deliverance book, have never really understood the principles of deliverance. So there is still just a lack of knowledge in this particular area. And I believe one of the things we're going to have to incorporate when we're training deliverance workers is to make sure that they have a thorough understanding of the schizophrenic revelation so that you'll be effective in ministering to people who are bound by this particular problem. Now, I'm going to read James chapter 1, verse 8. Most of you know it already. It is the scriptural definition of a person who is considered a schizophrenic. And it simply says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. James chapter 1, verse 8. That word double-minded in the Greek literally means two souls. Double-minded. The word double there means two. And the word minded there is the Greek word psyche, or psuche, where we get the word psychological from, which represents the soul. So your soul is the emotional, intellectual part of you. You know, when we talk about spirit, soul, and body, we break down the fact that man is three parts. He's spirit, soul, and body. How many have heard me teach on that before? Spirit, soul, and body. Just the words for spirit is the word pneuma, which means breath, wind, air. We get the word pneumonia from that word. It's the spirit of a man. And then there's the soul, which is the psuche or psyche, as a psychological part, which is your mind, your will, and your emotions. That's the intellectual part. That's the emotional part. That's the area of the will. And most when you're dealing with psychology, and you're dealing with the soul, most of the things that psychiatrists and psychologists try to deal with is the psyche or the soulish part of man. And we taught you that's the area where most demons live. When we talk about a born-again believer, your spirit is born again. John chapter 3, that which is born of the spirit is spirit, not your soul, not your mind. Your mind has to be renewed by the word of God. As a matter of fact, James said, receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save or deliver your soul. Same word, psyche, psuche. Most of the psychological problems that people deal with, you go to a psychiatrist if you're having mental problems, emotional problems, maybe a mental breakdown, emotional breakdown, nervous breakdown, insanity, madness, confusion. They're dealing with soulish problems, and they're dealing with demons. Unfortunately, since psychiatrists and psychologists mostly don't believe in demons, the only thing they can do is try to counsel you or sedate you with drugs. But they really can't deliver you because most of them don't believe that they're demons. As a matter of fact, if you go to a psychiatrist and tell them you have demons, they're probably going to increase the dosage. So that really doesn't work with them. But they're dealing with suke, psychological problems. So when it says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, the word double-minded in the Greek is the word two-souled. Or two personalities. You see, your soul is your personality. It's what makes you what you are. All of us have a spirit. That's the part that gets born again. It's part that gets justified, relates to God. But your soul is your personality, your mind, your will, and your emotion. What makes us different from one another is our soul. So when it says a double-minded man, a double-souled man, a two-souled man, what it's literally saying is two personalities. And that's where you get the whole term of split personality from. An individual has more than one personality. It's double-minded. They can manifest one personality one day, another day they're a completely different person, and they have these two souls, these double-minded, and it says that person is unstable in all of his ways. That's the scriptural definition of a schizophrenic. The person is unstable because they have two personalities. As a matter of fact, as we study this particular subject of schizophrenia, the revelation is this, and this is the key to understanding this particular revelation. The two when a person is schizophrenic and they have two personalities or double-minded, the fact is that neither one of those personalities is the real person. Both of those personalities are demonic. And what has happened is the person's real personality has never really developed because that person has been under the control of demons, usually from a very young age, where the two personalities of that person are really demon manifestations and the person has really never developed. Now, what I'm teaching you is not based on psychology or psychiatry because I often tell people I've never taken one psychology class all of my life. Now, most individuals, many of you, you went to school, you took psychology. When I was in high school, I never took a psychology course. I'm glad I didn't take one now. I wasn't saved, but it was something about psychology I never took. So I never knew anything about the ego, and Freud, and all this other goofy stuff that they teach in psychology. I've never taken one psychology course in all my life. I've never studied psychology. I've never read one book on psychology. I've never listened to anything on psychology. So what I'm sharing with you about two personalities is not based on psychology. It's based on the revelation that's in this particular book called Pigs in the Parlor. And let me read it to you. So many of you who have not read it, and those of you who have read it, let me remind you of this revelation because it's an important part of deliverance. Because if you don't understand this revelation, there's some people you're not going to be able to help in deliverance. This is just a fact. I found this out. We've been in deliverance now for over 10 years. We've been in deliverance for over 10 years. And I found out there's some people you will never be able to help without this revelation because you will not have the key that will unlock the reason why they're acting the way they're acting. And it's more than just bringing someone up, casting out devils. Some people need an individual to work with them who knows exactly what they're doing. Not someone up here just laying hands and pouring oil down their throat and screaming, come out, devil. Not someone just laying hands on them, pushing them down. Not someone up, I'm including preachers, just telling them, take it by faith. It is unfortunate. And I say I believe every believer needs this revelation. And I believe that every preacher needs this revelation. It is unfortunate that most preachers, if you went to them and asked them to explain schizophrenia to you, they probably could not explain it to you. Now you may say, well, Brother Eckhart, well, what if they never read the book? I mean, that's not the Bible. That's true. This is not the Bible. It's simply a revelation that was given by God to Ida Mae Hammond. But I believe the reason why we come into certain revelations is based on the scriptural principle that if you ask, you shall receive, and if you seek, you shall find. When you begin to ask and seek God for revelation concerning how you can help somebody, and you begin to deal with a problem or people that you want to see set free, and you're not able to help that person, if you ask God and seek God for revelation, according to the word of God, he'll give it to you. That's the principle. That's why I spoke to him, I've been seeking the Holy Ghost for 13 years. I said, you're lying. You ain't been seeking the Holy Ghost 13 years because you've been on founding by now. He said, seeking you shall find. Well, I've been seeking God for 50 years. No, you haven't. You seek, you shall find. God always responds to those who seek. I maintain this, that if God has to send an angel to you like he did to Cornelius and tell you where to go, if you're seeking, he'll make sure that you find. Cornelius was seeking God, didn't know the Apostle Peter. God sent an angel to Cornelius' house, told him to go to Joppa, find Peter. He's going to give you the word of salvation. If you seek, if you'll find the book. Sometimes when you're seeking, if you just on, I never, you can be on an airplane. That's not the best place to be these days. But don't get bound up by fear of flying. Just bind the devil and get on the plane and go where you're going. But if you see, if God has to let somebody leave, misplace a book, and you're sitting there seeking, find the book, you're going to find what you're seeking for. The reason why I believe a lot of times preachers and individuals don't come into revelation, it's not because it's not available, it's because they're not seeking revelation. See, God, Jesus said, I've hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto babes. See, it does not surprise me that psychiatrists and psychologists don't have these answers. It doesn't surprise me. Number one, because God hides it from the wise and prudent, and most folk who have all these degrees think they know everything anyway and think they're so smart, and God hides it from them because that's the way God deals with pride. That's in Luke chapter 10 when the disciples came back casting out devils and said, Lord, even the demons are subject unto us through thy name. And he said, rejoice not that the devil is subject. Then he turned and he said, I thank thee, O God, Father in heaven, that thou hast hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto babes. Babes are those who are humble, meek, they're teachable, they don't know everything, they go to God, they say, God, teach me, God, open my eyes, I'm not smart enough, I don't have the answers. Those are the babes, those are the ones that get revelation. All the other folks who think they know everything and you can't tell them anything about deliverance, and I'm really zeroing in on preachers because there are a lot of preachers out here who have some degree from some seminary that if you put a pigeon apart in their hand, they think they know everything already and they're even too proud to read the book. But they ought to read the book, number one, to get the pigs out their parlor, and number two, to help get the pigs out someone else's parlor. Always got to whack us first. She says this, we're working very closely in deliverance with a person who did not show much improvement after repeated ministries. I mean, they were praying for her, casting devils out of her, but over a period of time, you know, seeing a lot of demons come out, but there was no improvement. It says this person was very earnest about wanting deliverance. So it wasn't because the person didn't want deliverance, they were seeking deliverance. She loved the Lord very much. She believed with all her heart that deliverance was the answer to her problems, and she cried out to the Lord in desperation. She was completely cooperative with the ministry. Nevertheless, the overall results were disappointing. Time after time, we felt that the victory was gained. For a few days, her personality would show signs of stability. Then suddenly, everything would go into upheaval. We would be right back where we started. Then one night after an especially violent upheaval, I was awakened from sleep. The Lord was speaking within my spirit. The Lord said, I want to give you a revelation of what Sarah's problem is. The problem is schizophrenia. Now, I was not knowledgeable on the subject. In college, I had studied some psychology enough to be familiar with, this is Ida May's testimony, the author of this book, to be familiar with such general terms as manic, depressive, schizophrenic, paranoia, psychosis, and neurosis. I reached back into my memory to recall that schizophrenia is sometimes referred to as split personality, or having two personalities, double-minded, two souls, James 1:8. And then she says, the Lord gave me this definition. Listen to this now. You may want to write this down if you're taking notes. Give you a good definition. of schizophrenia. I encourage you to get the book. It's on page 124. But you want to write this down because this is the key to understanding this particular demonic problem. And by the way, schizophrenia is a demonic problem. It cannot be cured by medicine, drugs, and psychiatrists. Schizophrenia, listen to this, this is definite, is a disturbance, distortion, or disintegration of the development of the personality. Let me say that again. Schizophrenia is a disturbance, distortion, or disintegration of the development of the personality. Hope you had time to write that down. Now let me just go with this definition some. A disturbance, distortion, or disintegration of not the personality, but the development of the personality. In other words, demon spirits, as a person is growing up from a child, will attempt to disturb, distort, or completely disintegrate the development of a person's personality. So that by the time they become adults, their personality has not developed. Because demons have come to disturb, distort, or disintegrate, not the personality, because the personality was never developed. The development of the personality. You see, as a child grows up, that child begins to develop their personality, their identity. Your personality is who you are. When it says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, that person doesn't know who they are. They're unstable. They don't know. They're up one day, down. They don't have an identity. They don't know who they are. One of the keys to living life, if you're going to be successful in life, you've got to have an identity. You have to be stable. You can't do anything for God or for anyone else if you don't know who you are. If you're mixed up, how are you going to help someone else? And so what demons attempt to do, and their spirits, their job is to completely destroy a person's identity as they're growing up. Never let them develop a stable personality. So when that person becomes an adult, they're always unstable. They're always double-minded. They cannot be effective in life. They cannot be effective in ministry. They cannot be effective in anything because they've not developed a stable personality. Every person in this place, you must have a stable personality. Now, because you're stable doesn't mean you don't have any demons. But the fact is, you have to have some stability. You can't lead people. You can't be effective if you're not stable. Because if you're not stable, you become a problem to everybody else. Then you get two stable folks together, you got a hurricane. You got three unstable folks together, you got disaster. Four in one room may push the button and blow the whole world up. That was a joke. Y'all can laugh. So schizophrenia is a disturbance, distortion. Now, I'm not teaching psychology. I'm teaching deliverance. The problem is the demonic. And I gave you the foundational scripture, James 1:8. A double-minded man, a two-souled man, two personalities, is unstable in all his ways. Unstable in all his ways. How can you be successful in life and you're unstable in all your ways? It's impossible. How can you function? How can you be a success? How can you relate? How can you even, and this is, how can you marry someone and you're unstable? How can you have a good marriage if one person is unstable in the marriage? How can you have a chance if both of them are unstable? Think about this. You'd be surprised at the number of people that get married who have this problem. Either one or both of them have the problem. And then we wonder why some marriages are in trouble from the start. When you got an individual who is double-minded, two-souled, two personalities, unstable in all their ways, how can they even relate to somebody? You have to be stable to relate to other people. Because if you're unstable, the moment that person does something that looks the wrong way, you go into a complete whirlwind. And see, if we don't understand this principle, we'll marry folks who are unstable. You see, I found this out about marriage, and by the way, I'm not schizophrenic. I hope I'm not. My wife isn't, so I'm not talking about my wife. Even though at times I probably said it to her, you know, when I was mad or something, you know. You know how the deliverance folks do. We just say stuff on, yeah, you just schizophrenic, you know. Like, I mean, when Peter Wagner told the story, were y'all there when Peter Wagner was at Morcerello? He told a story how sometime, you know, either he said or a man said to his wife, you know, how God make you so beautiful and so dumb at the same time? And she said, it's real easy. He made me beautiful so you can marry me, and made me dumb so I'll marry you. That was a good comeback, wasn't it? But how can you get married if you're double-minded? A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. How can you be in a marriage and you are unstable? When you're unstable, you can't relate properly to people. Your marriage is doomed from the beginning. No wonder we have so many divorces. You're talking about the cause of divorce. Half these divorces, it ain't adultery or this. Is the judge ought to just have a big stamp say schizophrenia, bam, on the divorce papers. And this is what I found out about marriage. See, people when they're dating or courting, when I talk about dating, I'm not talking about going out, you know, and kissing on each other. I'm just talking about in the pre-marriage state. Generally, people are very good at hiding their demons. They don't usually manifest until after the wedding day. You know, you go to sleep with Cinderella and wake up with Godzilla. It's like the pumpkin. What happened? The carriage turned into a pumpkin overnight. At the midnight hour, the 12 rings came, and you looked over, and everything changed. The person's head spinned around like in The Exorcist and said, I got you now. I'm telling you, you cannot be effective, you cannot function in life to any successful degree if you're unstable, because you can't relate to people. And when you're unstable, you can't relate to situations, you can't deal with problems. How many know life is full of problems? You know, it's amazing, I've been thinking this the last couple of weeks, that when you become an adult, you know, when you're a child, you just want to grow up so bad. And you know, you didn't realize how many problems your parents were having. Because you didn't have them problems paying bills, you know, 5-day notices, you know, dealing with people, runaway children, unfaithful people. But when you become an adult, life is full of problems. It becomes every week a problem solving. It's like life becomes a Rubik's Cube. You spend all your life trying to put things together. I never could put one of them Rubik's Cubes together. I just ain't got pants. About 10 minutes, I just throw this thing down. What masochist invented this thing? I already got enough problems. I don't need to be putting this thing together. It's amazing. We already got enough problems. Here we're trying to solve a problem that we don't have to solve. And you paying to solve it. You go and buy the Rubik's Cube. That's why I don't think I'm a mechanic or anything. I'm not mechanical. Some people are mechanical. That's why I don't think I'm very mechanical. I got enough problems already. I don't feel like solving no more problems. I pay someone else to solve it. I drive my car into a shop. You look under the hood. You'll never see me looking under the hood. I don't know what's under there. All I do is click the thing on and drive it. When it stops, I get out, I make a phone call, and I say, come here and look at this. I'm a pastor. I deal with enough problems. I don't need to be trying to figure out what's wrong with the carburetor or the engine or whatever else is in that thing. Some folks like they like that. I don't. I got enough problems already. I pay someone else to solve some of my problems. But you cannot be successful in life being double-minded. And if you don't get deliverance, if you have this problem, you don't get deliverance from it, you're in trouble all of your life. Because you're double-minded and you're unstable in all of your ways. You don't know who you are. That means you don't even know who you have no identity. When it says the double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, it means you don't know who you are. One day you think you're this, one day you're that. I mean, it's like up and down. You never know who you are, and there's nothing more frustrating than a person trying to figure out who they are. Brother, if you don't know who you are, if all you spend all your life trying to figure out who you are, you're in trouble. You need to know exactly who you are. You need to have an identity. If you don't have that, you're in trouble. And so, again, schizophrenia is a disturbance, distortion, or disintegration of the development of the personality. That is not a psychological definition. This is a revelation given by the Lord. That means that demon spirits will disturb, distort, or disintegrate the development of a person's personality, never letting them develop a stable personality. And so schizophrenia often begins when a child is very young. Demons begin to work on that person. By the time they're adults, they have never developed a stable personality because of the fact that the enemy has either disturbed, distorted, or disintegrated the development of their personality. And therefore, when it says a double-minded man or two souls or two personalities, you must understand that God only gives you one personality. So if you got two personalities and your real personality has never developed, guess what? Both of those personalities are demonic. Because God don't give you more than one personality. God made you one person. He don't give you two personalities. God is not the author of split personality or schizophrenia. God made you one person. Let me say that again. If you have more than one personality, if you're double-minded, two-souled, two personalities, the word double-minded in the Greek, minded, soul, psyche, suki, same thing, psychological, two personalities. If you have two personalities, if you're this way one week, that way another week, I mean, it's a major difference, then guess what? That couldn't be your personality because God only gives you one. And if your personality has never really developed, if the enemy has never allowed your personality to really develop, that means that those two personalities are both demonic personalities. That means that you're manifesting demons all the time. A schizophrenic is manifesting two demonic personalities. It's not even, as a matter of fact, their personality, the one that they're manifesting, is demonic. Now, I didn't say you were talking to a demon, but it's close to that. I want that to sink into you. That sometimes you're dealing with people, you're not even dealing with the real person. You're dealing with demon manifestations in that person that have developed in them, that have built a personality in them and caused them to act the way they act. And if you don't know that, there's some people you won't be able to deal with because you won't understand them. You say, what's wrong with this person? You be married to them saying, my God, what's wrong with them? You'll be confused. Now, this won't help because if people already, number one, think that you see too many demons, y'all see demons in everything. I'm going to let you know. When a person who has mental problems goes into a psychologist's office, if that psychologist doesn't understand deliverance, that psychologist really is not going to be able to help them because they don't even understand what they're dealing with. They got all this stuff about from Freud, who wasn't even saved, was a pervert on cocaine. Give me a break talking about the id, the ego, the super id, and the ud, and all that other crazy mess. And you're reading books on it talking about, oh, that's the id, that's the ego. And it's because their problem is that they weren't breastfed. You know, something crazy like that. You know, these mass murderers killed 50 people. Don't put him in the electric chair because, you see, he was never breastfed. Fine. Let his mother come breastfeed him, then put him in the electric chair. Call his mama up. We'll give her 2 hours to breastfeed him. If he don't improve in 24 hours, we, bam, lay the hammer down on him. Some old crazy, ridiculous. Now listen to this. Again, schizophrenia is a disturbance, distortion, or disintegration of the development of the personality. And they're ministering to this young lady. They call her Sarah. You will no longer call her Sarah, but Sarah 1 and Sarah 2, for she has more than one personality in her. That's what the Lord told her. She has more than one personality in her. I was still in bed, still had sleep in my eyes as the Lord continued to give me the revelation. He instructed me to put my hands together, palms facing, with fingers laced together tightly. In other words, just put your hands together like this. Maybe you want to do that. Put your hands together like this. Okay? You can unwind them. You don't have to hold them that way. I just want you to see what she's saying here. He said this represented what the schizophrenic nature was like. Each hand represented one of the dual personalities within the schizophrenic. Listen to this. Neither of which was the real self. So let's say this hand is a personality. This hand is a personality. They're joined together tightly like this. This is what the Lord is showing her in this revelation. Two personalities. Double-minded man. Two personalities. This is one personality. This is another. And how many know sometimes God will use natural things to illustrate a spiritual truth? Okay, nothing with the hands, you know, and don't come up here saying, as you were saying that, I felt them in my hands, Pastor Kenny. You know, ain't nothing deep, okay? This is just to kind of explain it, you know. Don't get all deep. Yeah, when you did, ooh, blah, 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 blah. I felt something. I put my hand, just hold on. We're gonna get you delivered in a minute. Just ain't nothing deep about it, okay? It's just what God's showing. I know how deliverance people are and Holy Ghost filled people or whatever. So he said, he instructed me to put my hands together, palms facing with the fingers laced together tightly. So I want to emphasize that word tightly. Put your hands together and put them together real tight. Okay? Now there's a purpose in this. You're going to understand some things. How the Lord began to use the hand as an illustration of the personalities. Then it says, each hand represented one of the dual personalities within the schizophrenic, neither of which was the real self. They were tightly interlocked. The Lord said, your hands represent the nest of demon spirits that make up schizophrenia. I want you to know that it is demonic. It is a nest of demon spirits. And they came into this person's life when she was very, very young. I will show you how it operates. Aren't you glad when you ask God, he'll teach you, he'll expose the devil to you? Next, the Lord instructed me to take my hands apart very slowly. They put your hands together tightly. I take them apart very slowly. Not fast, very slowly. Okay? Very slowly. Just take them apart very slowly. Now, there's a method to this madness. Now, hold on. Now, see, I'm glad we ain't got cameras, because if they saw me teaching this on television, they'd say, look at that card. He got some folk down there. Look at them. I told you it was a cult. Look at them. And the camera be right on you, and your mother be viewing the broadcast. Oh, my God. I told my daughter not to go down to that church.
Reverend Dilmo, he'll call you. He's in the distance of the room, Dr. Dilmo. Yeah, he'll call you now. Okay, bye-bye.
Because the Lord instructed me to take my hands apart very slowly. As my fingers were slowly disengaged, the Lord showed me that these demonic spirits in the schizophrenic must be separated, cast out, and given up. Okay, now, three things. Separated, because, remember, they're tightly together, which means that the demons in this particular personality and the demons in this personality, reason why they're tightly because they draw strength from one another. They work together. These demons work together. So they're tight because they draw strength from one another. Therefore, they must be separated, which means it's going to take the power of God, number one, to separate them, because as you separate them, then you can cast them out, because they draw strength from each other. They work together, and they draw strength from each other. So you must, first of all, separate them. As you separate them by the wisdom of God, then what you're doing is you're separating these demon spirits, and now as they stand alone, now they're able to be cast out because they're weaker, because they're no longer joined together, and they cannot draw strength from one another. How many understand that? Okay? They must be separated, cast out, and given up. Now, separated, cast out is the part that God does. Giving up is the part the person does, because you cannot be delivered from a demon you don't want to give up. See, deliverance is not all on the worker's part. Simply put, you must fall out of agreement with demons. You must want to give them up. See, a person, the hardest part about this kind of deliverance, we're going to show you, it's a process, is that when a person has their personality has never really developed, and they're double-minded, they have two personalities which are both demonic, and they've had this for so long a period of time, it is easier said than done giving it up. Because if that's all the personality that you know, it can be very fearful to let it go, because you have nothing to fall back on. If you've been operating a certain way all your life, and someone says, well, you got to give that up, the first thing that may come is, well, I don't know if I can live without it. And we're talking about a person's personality. This is what they have lived by all their life. This is their personality. So they must fall out of agreement. They must, number one, understand that these personalities are of the devil. They must, first of all, get a revelation that this is not you. This is the enemy. Your real personality has never developed, and this is the enemy. So number one, they must get a revelation that it's the devil. And then once you get a revelation as the devil, you must say, I don't want it in my life, which means you must be willing to go through the process of giving it up, which is not very easy, because if a person has been used to reacting a certain way all their life, let's say one of the things schizophrenics do often is they manifest two ways. Sometimes they get very angry. And if you're used to getting angry all your life, then when the time comes for you to fall out of agreement with that, the enemy will always bring a temptation and tempt you to get angry, but you got to be willing to say, no, I'll not get angry, even though you've been doing that all your life. You got to give it up. So separate, say separate. Cast out, say cast out. Give up. So it says here, as the fingers are slowly disengaged, the Lord showed me that these demonic spirits and the schizophrenic must be separated, cast out, and given up. The process requires time. So this kind of deliverance, which is why, again, I feel every deliverance worker needs to know this by heart, needs to memorize this chapter. When I say memorize, I mean to memorize the whole thing, memorize and understand the revelation, because this is not an instantaneous deliverance. And the reason why this deliverance ain't instantaneous, the reason why it takes time, is because if a person's personality has never developed, because the demons have held that person's personality down and they've set demonic personalities up, that means that as this person is getting delivered, you must allow the real person to grow. Because listen to this, this is going to shock you. If all the demons were cast out at one time, guess what? Person doesn't have personality. Because their real personality never developed. And so what God does is God, over a process of time, separates these things, casts them out, the person gives them up. It takes a process of time, because as these things are being dealt with, each finger represents certain spirits, as these things are being dealt with, the Lord is developing that person's personality, and really the one that does it is Jesus Christ. This person must begin to grow into the image of Christ over a period of time, so that by the time that person is completely delivered from these demons, that person has developed a stable personality, and now they can function in life without being double-minded, without being unstable. You see, I'm convinced, saints, the reason why this is so important is because the Lord wants to send us people to this church and to deliverance who the doctor can't help, the psychiatrist can't help. Their only answer is going to be God. And there's got to be some folks who are knowledgeable enough to know how to pray for them, because there's some people out here that are so unstable and so messed up and so schizophrenic and got so many personalities, brother, until religion can't help them. Church can't help them. Doctor can't help them. Psychiatrists can't help them. And God's looking for a group of people who have a revelation. See, revelation is the key to destroying the gates of hell. Because Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell should not prevail against it. The rock was revelation. Peter got a revelation that you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the Lord said, upon this revelation, revelation is the key to destroy the gates of hell. You'll never destroy the gates of hell. And there's some people that you'll never be able to help. So you know what we do? We instead of us being able to set them free, you got churches that will refer people to psychiatrists and psychologists who don't know nothing about God, don't read the Bible. And the Bible tells us in Psalm chapter 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. You don't need counsel for some ungodly person. Some adulterer or homosexual sitting behind a desk asking you, were you breastfed? You don't need the counsel of the ungodly. Blessed, happy is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Why are we sending folks to sinners who don't know God? Some don't even believe in God. Atheists. And the Bible says the fool has said in his heart there's no God. Now why are you going to send them to a fool? You need a fool to tell you what to do. You can destroy your life on your own without a fool helping you. This is what churches do. Send them to the doctor, psychiatrist. Pump them up with drugs. Let some psychiatrist talk to them. Or go and study psychiatry and then put a person on, a Christian psychologist. Give me a break. A Christian psychologist that studied the ways of the world, studied Freud. Brother, you know what the best Christian psychologist is? Read that Bible, you become a Christian psychologist. Read that word, you can counsel somebody. Every one of you in here can be a Christian psychologist. Because again, the whole realm of psychology is dealing with the soul. The word psyche, soul, psyche. That's the Greek word, psyche. And most of the problems that folks have in their, when people have emotional problems, mental problems, the soul is the mind, will, and emotion, it's usually demons in the soulish.
And demons operate in the soul, in the personality. I had areas of schizophrenia in my life, still getting deliverance on Thursdays with Sister Durden in my area. The Lord revealed to me that my mother had schizophrenia and my sister and my brother's daughter have it bad. There are mild, medium, high cases, above high and above normal. Doesn't matter. You can get free. You can get free. All right. Chaplain Durden, your response.
Amen. That was very encouraging, especially the part about going to see all these psychiatrists and everything. It sort of backed up what always I felt in my spirit. I always, when I'd be talking, I was trying to help someone, assist, whatever, and they're talking about going to these psychiatrists and everything else. And I said, you better watch out. A psychiatrist has been teaching just fleshly stuff. Half of them don't know the Lord. None of them born again. And they need psyche themselves, and they just give people pills, and they get all doped up on these pills. It's not helping at all.
Dr. Leroy Montgomery said, I'm a psychiatrist. That's appalling to me. That's my profession. You need some counseling. Maybe I can counsel you, boy.
You see, you start up saying, boy, you messed up, sir. You really messed up. I wouldn't let my dog come see you, period. I would let my dog see you, boy.
Oh, Lord. Yes, sir. Yeah, because schizophrenic is a spiritual thing. It's not mental. And medications, they don't help. I mean, it helps, but it just keeps the demon intact. The personality must change. Amen. Chaplain Durden, any last words before we close?
I really enjoyed it, man. Very encouraging and very learning. And, I mean, it was out of sight because we were talking to a specialist. You need the Spirit of God. You don't need somebody to give you some medication, get you all dope up and you're drunk and you don't know who you are half the day and everything else. We need someone who knows the Lord. And you had that double-minded, sure, especially if a child been growing up in a house crazy. mixed marriages and all this other kind of stuff, man. It's just because the person needs some help, not because they're crazy, lunatic, or anything like that, you see. And so you go and sit to a psychiatrist, like the man said. Half the psychiatrists you go talk to don't even have a personal relationship with the Lord. You got somebody.
So don't. They so don't.
Holy. And half the one they call us are committed to adultery affairs, pornography,
we've
all kind of stuff, and call themselves psychiatrists.
We had a psychiatrist call Brother John and said he was going to give him psychological counseling for before and ball, after ball jacket. Now, can you believe that?
And that's, I mean,
that's wicked.
And ball jacket.
That's,
mean,
that
yeah.
ain't a, that's
ball
not
jacket
of God.
Mean,
that's not of God.
Yeah.
That's not of God.
And when you say
they
ball
know what
jacket,
ball jacket. They know what it is, Brother John. Then
oh, okay,
the
okay.
The whole
okay.
audience, they understand ball jacket. Yeah, that's
yeah,
demonic.
So that's stupid, see?
Yeah.
They messed up.
So schizophrenia is a spiritual condition. Dr. Tilmanton, yes, yeah. sir. Yeah, I have it. Everybody got some areas of schizophrenia in their life. I don't care who they are. I ain't seen a person yet that not have it. Very few. Childhood, mostly the effect of childhood. I got it. And the Lord revealed to me how I had it and getting rid of it. I go through deliverance every Thursday. Every Thursday. That's right. All right. We win. Sow a seed here at Live Deliverance Net Radio. We are up on YouTube. We're not teaching tonight. I'm very tired. I've been on the internet radio since 6 this morning. Sow a seed at www.livedeliverance.com on our blog talk segment. We win.
I want to talk to you. I want to talk to you. Just pray. Get away from this earth.